The most common form of transport, other than by foot, was by hired litter or sedan chair. Even so, the streets were so crowded that even foot traffic could circulate at little more than a crawl. There was a crush of humanity, citizens, soldiers, paupers, and slaves all around them. David and Heather towered over most of these people, and besides, walking on the modern ground surface, they were hovering above the cobbled floor of the ancient city. The poor and the slaves looked stunted, some visibly ravaged by malnourishment and disease, even rat-like, as they crowded around the public water fountains. But many of the citizens, some in brilliant white, gold-stitched togas, benefiting from generations of affluence funded by the expanding empire, were as tall and well-fed as David, and, in suitable clothes, would surely not have looked out of place in the streets of any city of the 21st century. But David could not get used to the way the swarming crowd simply pushed through him. It was hard to accept that to these Romans, busily engaged with their own concerns, he was no more than an insubstantial ghost. He longed to be here, to play a part. They came now to a more open place. This was the Forum Romanum, a finely paved rectangular court surrounded by grand two-story public buildings fronted by rows of narrow marble columns. A line of triumphal columns, each capped by gold-leafed statues, strode boldly down the center of the court, and farther ahead, beyond a clutter of characteristically Roman red-tiled sloping roofs, he could see the curving bulk of the Colosseum. In one corner, he noticed a group of citizens, grandly dressed, senators, perhaps, arguing vehemently, tapping at tablets, oblivious of the beauty and marvel around them. They were proof that this city was no museum, but very obviously the operational capital of a huge, complex, and well-run empire, the Washington of its day. And its very mundanity was exhilarating, so different from the seamless, shining, depopulated reconstructions of the old pre-Wormcam museums, movies, and books. But this imperial city, already ancient, had just a few centuries more to survive. The great aqueducts would fall, the public fountains fail, and for 1,000 years afterward, the Romans would be reduced to drawing their water by hand from the Tiber. There was a tap on his shoulder. David turned, startled. A man stood there, dressed in a drab, charcoal-gray suit and tie, utterly out of place here. He had short-cropped blonde hair, and he was holding up a badge. And, like David and Heather, he was floating a few meters above the ground of Imperial Rome. It was FBI Special Agent Michael Mavens.
"You," David said. "What do you want with us? Don't you think you've done enough damage to my family, Special Agent?"
"I never intended any damage, sir."
"And now?"
"And now I need your help."
Suppressing a sigh, David lifted his hands to his mind's eye headband. He could feel the indefinable tingle that came with the breaking of the equipment's transceiver link to his cortex. Suddenly, he was immersed in the hot Roman night. And around him, the Forum Romanum was reduced. Great chunks of marble rubble littered the floor, their surfaces brown, decaying in the foul air of the city. Of the great buildings, only a handful of columns and cross pieces survived, poking out of the ground like exposed bones, and sickly, urban-poisoned grass grew through cracks in the flags. Bizarrely, amid the gaudy 21st-century tourists, gray-suited Mavens looked even more out of place than in ancient Rome. Michael Mavens turned and studied Heather. Her eyes, dilated widely, sparkled with the unmistakable pearly glint of viewpoints cast by the miniature Wormcam generators implanted in her retinas. David took her hand. She squeezed gently. Mavens caught David's eye. He nodded, understanding, but he pressed.
"We need to talk, sir. It's important."
"My brother?"
"Yes."
This is the end of this cassette. This program is continued on side one of cassette number 6.